It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live, sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. First week of the FedEx Cup. I am electrified. So glad the Northern Trust is here to start our five-week ride. You have come to see the sights. These guys hit it so long because they're strong. They don't want to start their off-season. They're on attack. It's a huge money race. Captain Furyk is here to see who will fill his empty Ryder Cup space. Tiger and Phil are sure a lock. I don't know who else is on the team. Now I'm looking at that leaderboard. And oh, there's Hideki. Fans, let's go. Don't know what's in store. Get out to Ridgewood. You've got to see the PGA Tour. Brooks, don't hit it in the rough. You'll just get a brutal lie. Will Dustin stumble? Will JT be the first to repeat the prize? The top 100. They will survive. Then they will head up to Boston and try to stay alive. Play good and relive. Their opponents, they'll outlive. I will survive. Springdale Golf Live. Hey, hey.
That's it, folks. Welcome to the special live edition from the Northern Trust up here at Ridgewood Country Club. It's Springdale Golf Live. It's Friday afternoon, and I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be here doing my best to entertain you. Thanks for tuning in to Fox Sports, 920 AM. That's 920thejersey.com for our website. On social media, you can hit me up right now at KJPGA. I'm on Instagram and Twitter, also LinkedIn. And when the show's done today, right away, we'll post on iTunes and Google Play the podcast of this epic event. Well, it's just such a special time here for Springdale Golf Live. We have traveled up the Garden State Parkway, like so many New Jerseyans, from down in Princeton all the way up to Ridgewood, where they are hosting the Northern Trust, which is the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. And we're so proud and happy to be here and take the show on the road. And just want to give a big shout out to my staff and all the members back there at Springdale for all their support and getting us up here. Certainly our friends at Fox Sports there, Tony on the board right now, and Al back at the station. Great job, and we're live and having some fun up here. And let me tell you, Ridgewood is alive, and these guys are trying to survive. And that is Gloria Gaynor with our Song of the Week. And a lot of people, they remember that song, but they don't know that Gloria Gaynor earned Song of the Week this week because she is from Newark, New Jersey. So a little New Jersey native with a great song to lead off the FedEx Cup playoff talk, because all these guys out there are trying to survive, and they're playing Ridgewood. And speaking about the survival artists, we got to start with those that are in the lead. And I'm here in the media center, and I'm looking up at the leaderboard, and I've got Jamie Lovemark on the golf course, and he's in first place. And the second place guy is Sean O'Hare, and he was just in the interview room a minute ago. But the reason I bring up Sean O'Hare is because Sean is one of those bubble guys that make the playoff stories so interesting. He was number 121 out of 125 in order to get in the top 125 for the FedEx Cup playoffs and get here to the Northern Trust. And he is doing his very best to try to play his way into next week at the Dell Championships up in Boston. So congratulations to Sean on his fine play from these first 2 days. He's at 7-under, and he shot a little 2-under today, 69, so congratulations to him. And, a lot of people ask, they say, about how many people actually make it through from 100 to 125. And in the 10 years that the FedEx Cup's been going on, it's an average of only about 5.5 guys a year make it through that first cut. And then they go to Boston, they're going to cut 30 more people down to 70. And then they're going to cut from there, they're going to cut 40 more people down to 30 when they go out to the BMW, which is down in Philadelphia. And then they'll finish up in Atlanta with the top 30. But guys like Sam Saunders, that's Arnold Palmer's grandson. He was at 120. He's playing well. He's up there on that leaderboard. I got guys like Vaughn Taylor. So I'm really excited for some of these guys that they're making a move. And who knows who the five will be this year, roughly, that are going to get it going. And they will survive and move forward. And, one of the big topics of conversations up here this week here at the Northern Trust, is the golf course. You know, we are back on one of these very classic Northeast golf course, and I love Ridgewood Country Club. I love the layout. I love how A.W. Tillinghast laid this place out, and it's 3 9-hole golf courses that they have here. And what they do is they put together the best of the 3 9s and make a par 71 golf course. They take 7 from their east 9, then they go to 5 on the center 9 and 6 in the west. And the reason I bring this up is that as you're viewing either this afternoon or if you have it on in the background at work or something and you're watching maybe a little PGA Tour live, you can say, I want to give you a couple holes to pay attention to as the weekend develops and as we start to decide who is going to make a move to win this thing. So some of the key holes to look at. On the front nine, there is a stretch of par fours that are like grizzly bears. You got 7, 8, and 9. 7, 485, 8, 475, straight up a hill, normally a par 5. They play it as a par 4. And 9, 471, got to shape that one. Big dog leg left. These are really, really good architect holes. Love them on the front nine. On the back nine, we've got the famous 5-and-dime hole. It's 290 yards long. You can drive it. It's the 12th hole. Past years in the FedEx Cup, they played it on the front, but they wanted to add a little more drama, so they threw it on the back nine, and I love that move. And the reason they call it the 5-and-dime hole is because many, many moons ago, Byron Nelson was a golf professional here at Ridgewood. And Byron Nelson nicknamed the hole the 5-and-dime because it was a 5-iron and a wedge, you know, 9-iron, 10-iron. So he said, oh, it's just a 5 and a 10. So they called it the 5-and-dime, which is really cool. Then I love holes 16 and 17. Now, why 16? Well, 16 is this magnificent hole where they're out driving off of a ledge out into a 431-yard par 4. And, you know, Keith, they're going to say, Keith, it's not that long of a hole. But, you know, think about it. 431 yards, this fairway is so tight, and they're coming down with a lot of pressure. It should be a birdie hole, but something's going to happen there. And I could tell you right now that the rough at this place, I'm going to steal some before I go for the top of my head. I mean, there's so much left over. It would be they have rough to go everywhere. And these guys are struggling. They really tighten the fairways, and when they get it off the fairway, they're not having an easy time with trying to hit these greens, even though they are soft and wet. So I think 16 is going to play a pivotal role. And then I also like 17. It's par 5. We're almost closing with it. And, you know, it's really, really one of those opportunities. I was out there today, watched Jordan play it, watched Phil play it this morning. They had this crazy front left pin position. It was barely even on the green. It was just the coolest little spot. Those guys came through. Phil is playing really, really well, which makes a ton of fun. And, you know, it's just super, super cool. So, and you know, we have to talk about Phil. So I'm going to segue over to Phil and Tiger. They have finally announced that this quote-unquote match, this super match, is going to happen. And the super match between Phil and Tiger is scheduled for Shadow Creek out in Las Vegas on Thanksgiving weekend. And there's been tons and tons of talk here in the media center about this. $9 million purse. How is it, you know, what time is it going to be aired? They're going to be mic'd. The players going to be mic'd up. The caddies are going to be mic'd up. It's just really, really, really cool what they're putting together here. But one of the big controversial things that I think is neat about this and is causing a lot of discussion, whether they do it or not, but they said it's going to be a pay-per-view event. So this pay-per-view event, everyone is up in arms about it. They said, I shouldn't have to pay to play to see Tiger Woods play a match against Phil Mickelson. That should be free. Well, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. I'm going to say, you know what, folks? You think about it. You've been paying for golf content for a long time. I mean, there's so many of us that get PGA Tour Live streamed right to our laptops. That's $40 a year. If you're a subscriber to the Golf Channel on your cable network, I guarantee you they're one of the premium sports packages. You pay extra for that. You're already paying for this content. And people are comparing it to boxing matches and such, and it's really not a boxing match. This is going to be a multimedia event with super content, and I'm so happy that these guys are embracing it. They're having fun with it. There was some playful banter yesterday during the different press conferences. You know, Tiger mentioned that he was a major, favorite. You know, somebody asked him, they said, so Tiger, are you going to trash talk Phil? And he said, well, you know, I'm minus 180 right now in Vegas, which means he's a heavy favorite. And, you know, he goes, so that's all I have to say. And then Phil was getting back at him. And, you know, it's just really, really good because there's going to be a huge, huge amount of attention around golf at a time of year, which is kind of a sleepy time of year, which I'm cool with. But going back to the pay-per-view thing, everyone pays for content already, so let's not get hung up on that. But if we want to get hung up on something, if we're going to pay for content, I want there to be an undercard. I want there to be more than just the two of those guys. I mean, who's going to be playing or doing anything when those guys are walking from one shot to another? Now, I know they're going to be talking about longest drive in the fairway, I'll bet you $1,000 now, or you can't get this up and down from the bunker for $500. I mean, I know that there's a bet anywhere scenario. They're playing for $9 million. It's not their money. But for me, if they're going to go the pay-per-view route, then it's going to be like a boxing match or UFC or WrestleMania. Well, one of the things those guys do is they turn it into an event, and I would love to see an undercard. Now, right away, everyone's going to say, oh, I want to see Rory versus Reed or Jordan versus Rose or something like that. I'm not going in that direction. This thing is going to be a multimedia bonanza, so I'm going to head in a totally different direction. And, you know, I'm just super excited. I would put a match together where it would be totally like it's going to be let's say Tony Romo versus Steph Curry or something like that. That would be really, really cool. You know, it just would be so exciting to see this match play out with an undercard, with some different style of golfers out there, where everyone would get a chance to really understand exactly who is going to tune in and how much, you know, press we can create over this and how much of a great vibe that we can put together in order to really, really start to help put golf back on the map. You know, I love this saying. I was talking about it the other night on Sirius, and that is that everyone says Tiger's back, so he's moving the needle. And one of my favorite hashtags I saw on social media since Tiger's been back, it was Tiger had done something great at the PGA, and it said hashtag I am the needle. And I was like, well, there you go. So, you know, it's just really, really cool. So, Tiger Phil, pay-per-view, let's do it, but let's do it with an undercard. One last thing to talk about. I know the deadline's not this week for Captain Furyk, but I mentioned it in the opening. And some of these guys are trying to survive to be those captain's picks. And in the song with Gloria Gaynor, I mentioned that Tiger and Phil are probably locks. But moving right ahead, right, there's some other guys, and they don't have to choose. Captain Furyk doesn't have to choose his first three of the four picks until September 3rd. But if Tiger and Phil are in there, that leaves two spots, and I'm going to throw out some names. Brent Snedeker, 59 last week, pretty big deal. Kevin Kisner, Bryson DeChambeau, Zach Johnson, Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau. You know, so let's look at some of these names. Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau, great round this morning with Phil. They both played great together. I would love a Finau and Phil pairing. I mean, I think they play 18 holes, and with 36 scores there, they might make about 47 birdies between the two of them. They bomb it. They fire at the pins. I love it. They're both playing great. DeChambeau right now tied for 13th. Kisner tied for 13th. I love Kisner's grit, and he can putt. Love him a ton. I was big on Kuchar this week. I picked him the other night. I call him the human ATM. The guy always cashes a check. He won once here before. I thought he'd get a little comfortable. He struggled a little yesterday, but I don't know if Kuchar is going to be the man, but I can tell you what. In the media center, Phil, he's got the sound bites. He came out and he said he put himself on the pressure moment, and he said, you know what, folks? He goes, just watch how I'm going to play the next couple weeks. I'm getting ready for something, right? And Tiger said to himself the other day in his press conference, I'm preparing to play for five of the next 6 weeks. So I think they all know that those two guys are coming, and we're going to match them up with a Kisner or DeChambeau or certainly a Finau, and we're really excited about all that. Well, right now, I'm going to talk about a couple quick things here before we get into break. We're going to hear from our good friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation, our great supporters. Again, we're up there live at the Northern Trust at Ridgewood Country Club, and I have this really fantastic guest coming on next. His name is Keith Dawkins, and he's the CEO of the First Tee. National First Tee CEO is here with us talking about kids and families and golf and the business of golf and the charitable work and growing the game. We're so excited to have him up here. That's going to be really, really good to do. I'm looking forward to talking to him in just a few minutes. But as for right now, we'll be back with Keith Dawkins in a minute. It's 3:15 here in New Jersey, 12:15 for our fans out on the West Coast. Talk to you soon.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Hey, it's Clay Travis of OutKickTheCoverage.com. I'm sure you already have a morning routine. Mine used to involve feeding children and changing diapers, but in an unfortunate twist for my wife,
ain't nobody got time for that.
I no longer have time for that.
I hate you.
OutKick the Coverage has come to your radio every weekday morning, whether you want it or not.
Weekday morning, 6 a.m.
So join us when you wake up.
This is 920 The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
There it is. It's our song of the week, I Will Survive. And that's the theme for that top 100 to 125 players. They're trying to make that cut, and they're following Gloria Gaynor's advice, and they're going to try to hold their heads up high, and they will survive. Well, talk about a true survivor and a guy that's just a tremendous leader of the first tee that's been around for 20 years. And can you imagine this? In 20 years, the first tee has reached almost 15 million kids. What a fantastic statistic. But the CEO of the first tee had a couple minutes here at the Northern Trust, and his name is Keith Dawkins, and we've invited him into the booth here. And Keith, Springdale Golf Live, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Good to talk to another Keith.
Yeah.
Always good.
You know, when we were getting introduced, I was thinking to myself, I was like, it's not often I get to talk to another Keith.
It's rare. It's rare.
So it's, you know what, our parents, our great minds must think alike.
They did a good job.
They did a tremendous job. So the first tee, I alluded to this a little bit. In 20 years, you're about to celebrate your 20-year anniversary. You all have touched the lives of roughly 15 million kids with your mission and everything. Talk to our listeners a little bit about, you know, what the first tee mission is here now in 2018 and what's going on with the organization.
You know, 20 years ago, Commissioner then Tim Finchem and a bunch of like-minded individuals, he brought them all together and they were trying to answer some questions around, you know, how do we get this game? How do we bring more visible diversity into it? How do we bring more girls in? How do we grow this thing? So the first tee launched out of that idea, and youth development and positively impacting people with those nine core values, perseverance and honesty and integrity, those things became paramount with the first tee as well. And then here we are in 2018, and we still have some of those same questions we're still trying to answer, right? Like, how are we bringing more people into the sport? How are we using the sport as a platform then, though, to positively impact another generation of kids? And I tell people there's 50 million kids in the U.S. under the age of 11. It's the largest cohort of kids we've ever had in our nation's history. They're roughly 15% of the population, and over half of them are kids of color. So that's a big group of kids that we can use this sport and bring them in. And when I say the sport, I'm not talking about swing speeds and launch angles. I'm talking about, like, bring them into this
sure.
ecosystem.
Yeah.
And then use everything that we have at our disposal to positively impact those kids. If you come over to the first tee experience and you meet some of the kids at the first tee in there, they love the game, they love the sport, they're passionate about it, they love the values that the sport has given them and how it's positively impacted their lives, and in the sense of some of them were shy and didn't want to do public speaking, some of them didn't feel confident and were struggling in school, some of them, like, the list goes on. First tee gave them things that allowed them to be productive and positive citizens. You hear from their parents. So all with the golf is the platform. So it's a really special assignment I have, I think, to just be able to be the steward of this ship, and it's exciting to me.
Well, I tell you, you just almost gave me chills the way you described that whole thing, and I walked over on purpose because we were talking today, and I wanted to get the first tee experience, and it was really, really cool. The vibe over there, the family vibe that was over there, and I know the Northern Trust and the PGA Tour endorses, you know, kids 18 and under coming through, and you guys are doing this here in New Jersey, and you did it also at Sawgrass at the Players.
Right.
And, you know, is this something that you plan on doing more of, the first tee experience and partnering with the PGA Tour? I know in your time with Nickelodeon, you did a PGA Tour, like, themed week end of programming. So
right,
I know
right.
golf is kind of, you know, maybe near and dear to your heart. How's this partnership going?
So the idea to spend 6 seconds in my past was about how do we stop being arrogant, you know, at Nickelodeon and just think kids are going to show up to your own platform every day. It's a cluttered marketplace. And how do we leverage the scale and the depth and breadth that other, in this case, it was the PGA Tour, right? 175,000, 200,000 people coming through then at Players Championship. So now I'm here and it's like, Well, we can do that same thing with the first tee, right? How do we show up where the fans are? How do we create an experience and an activation that is, call it multimedia? To me, it's just like bringing the first tee to life. So you go in there and there's a ball pit and there's a golf simulator and there's virtual reality stations and there's artist murals and there's things for kids to come in there and actually just have a great time. If you're a golf fan, you're like, whoa, it's awesome. But by the way, there's people coming through who have never heard about the first tee, and this is their touch and feel the brand. They can put it on their social media platform of choice. They could spread it out to the world, the press. So bringing these things out as touch points allows you to reach fans not only locally but globally, because they can put it out through their social media platforms and their different things. So,
well, kudos to you and your team, because it really was a neat experience. Yeah. And everyone in the world of corporate and life and sports and everything in sports business, we're talking about, you know, enhancing the experience. Yeah. You have definitely done something to enhance the family experience here at the Northern Trust. And, you know, folks, we're here, we're talking to Keith Dawkins, really special guest. He's the CEO of the First Tee of America. And one of the things that I love and why we do this show on Fox Sports and the Song of the Week, and by the way, the Song of the Week, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive, right? It's somewhat of a female anthem, right? So I'm doing my best to try to reach out to those female golfers in our audience, right? So the multimedia aspect, yeah, and the footprint that we're all trying to increase these days and looking at content and everything, how is the First Tee approaching this? How are you going to successfully manage an entrance into this genre?
Yeah, listen, we have three ways that I talk to the our business about reaching the audience, right? So diversity and inclusion is important to us for the reasons I said about, because it just reflects the audience. Civic responsibility, because that's the nine core values, and that's, you know, kind of our secret sauce and point of distinction. Fan engagement. It's not just the First Tee, but no brand, any brand. You can't expect that kids are just going to automatically just get a bed and walk into one of our 150 chapters here domestically or one of our national school programs. We have to be more strategic and thoughtful and aggressive around how are we reaching out to the audience and all the ways in which they use, you know, their platforms. So we have to have a digital strategy, a social strategy. We have to be thinking about things about gaming as a platform. Is that a place that we need to be? That's why we have a simulator in there. How do we partner with our friends at About Golf? We have to think about all of these touch points, because it's a cluttered marketplace. Fortnite is right next to our booth. Well, here at the thing, right?
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my youngest, who's 14, sometimes he disappears on Fortnite, and he's an active, sporty, outside kid, but he'll disappear in Fortnite. We can't pretend that he's just going to wake up and be like, let me walk into a chapter. So this multimedia, multi-brand, multifaceted approach to reaching your audience and engagement, it's difficult, but it takes brain power, it takes a sophistication, it takes a level of just staying with it and an ongoing conversation with the audience, and we have to do it. It's mission critical.
Well, I tell you, you know, there's two things I can guarantee you. Number one, in the time that we just have this conversation, my kids, which are back at home, have flossed at some point, okay? They have floss danced at some point. And then the other thing is that they, you know, I was doing my research on the First Tee experience, yeah, and everything, and they saw that Sky Jackson was here the other,
yeah,
day, right? And they were like, oh, they're like, you got to introduce us to Sky Jackson.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Bunked and Jessie and everything,
yeah,
she's fantastic. And I know a lot of my listeners, because, you know, they're golf,
right,
enthusiasts, may not know who that is. But my you're making such great choices, is my point.
Yeah,
your booth is partnered, and it's right next to Fortnite. I mean, you guys are doing this stuff. It's great. So along those lines, here's another thing I want to get into. You guys are big on these nine core values,
mm-hmm,
all right? How are we going to start to develop and evolve these nine core values to handle digital character? So, like, one of the things is that you guys are always trying to enhance the character of the kids, right, and the families and the parents and everyone that experiences the First Tee. How are we going to start to convert that over to having a digital message as well, so that the kids have digital character?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was, right before this, I was just having a fantastic conversation with Harold Varner, right, and we were just,
okay,
he was talking about, you know, what golf means to him and how those nine core values he learned on the golf course. And I think it's just about, what I would say about the nine core values, and I've said this to the larger First Tee at, masses at large, it's almost like the First Tee was ahead of the curve with those values, because now the research tells you that a modern-day kid, they care about health and wellness, they care about obesity issues, they care about spending time with their family. You have to understand, it's 2018. This was the kid who was born in 08, 09 when the market fell apart. So they've seen choices happen in their house where it was like their oldest couldn't go away to school anymore, had to come back, mom or dad lost job, they had to hunker down differently. This kid, really, family is supremely important to them. So now the nine core values automatically attaches to the modern day kid. They make social choices that are important to remember and their brands that they consume, these different things. So I think now for us, it's about how do we wrap and create a different narrative around the nine core values that just attaches to today's kid. It's not about the nine core values don't attach to today's kids, about anything they do. But we have to do it on all of our different platforms. They should show up here on the ground at a First Tee experience. They should show up in our digital and social messages on all of our platforms, Instagram, Facebook, and others, to help these kids really understand our brand and our value and what we're pushing out, and that'll help them make other choices for the rest of their lives.
Well, folks, we're here talking to Keith Dawkins, CEO of the First Tee, and I'm very proud to say, and I hope I'm right and I'm saying this, a New Jersey native.
Oh, I'm born and raised in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and that's where I live.
Holy man.
This is like the
hometown game.
Hometown base. Not only is it the hometown base, but the Ridgewood Country Club, which is here in Paramus, the section of town that I live in is called the Country Club section because that's where the Ridgewood Country Club originally existed. Where I am in the section of town, so it's
Well, I'm a little further down the parkway, right? North Edison,
right?
Menlo Park area, light bulb, all that.
New Jersey guys.
You know, so great to talk to you here. Bring up a little New Jersey talk there. And so you talked a little bit how you had this real cool conversation with Harold Varner.
Yeah.
And I want you to play a little Gloria Gaynor for him later because he needs to survive. He's in that 25 there, right? They kill me at the station all the time. I beat the dead horse with the song of the week.
Right.
You know, it permeates the whole show.
It's your job.
Yes. Yeah. It won't be able to permeate David Reasoner's hair, but we'll get to that because he's coming on next. But, you know, you spent 25 years in media and entertainment, mm-hmm. Nickelodeon, Viacom, done all of these things. And I think it's just so interesting with you as a choice for someone who is now with a group like the First Tee. It goes back to the last question. And you know, obviously, I'm developing a theme here. Yeah. But what attracted you to the First Tee?
The audience is the same. My last 14 years, I was at Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon, you know, when you work there, they tell you it's the place where kids win. We're there because of kids. That's who we deal with, whether it's 2 to 5s or 6 to 11s. And there's nothing more exciting than working at a brand where, you know, an 8-year-old's like, you work at Nickelodeon? Or a 28-year-old's like, I grew up on Nickelodeon, I watch these shows. Or a parent's like, oh my God, my kids love Nickelodeon. So the idea that I'm just bringing those skill sets that I learned in that space and I'm bringing it to a big brand that's powered by the 5 governing bodies of golf. So we have scale and we have corporate partners. We have all that big breadth and depth that you get out of like the place like working at Viacom. But at the end of the day, the audience is kids. So it's the same thing for me. It feels different to other people when I tell the story, but in my mind, unless I'm kidding myself, I'm like, I know who my audience is. I know who we're getting after. It's an audience that I have a lot of background in. It's an audience I love to impact, and let's go get after it.
Well, I'll tell you, I have talked to numerous of my professional spies and in and around the Northern Trust, but just in general, and they say to see you with children is like seeing, you know, children with Santa Claus. Like, I mean, seriously, they say, like, it's almost like a transformation. It's like you were born to lead kids. So, I mean, congratulations, because that's the way people view you. Whether you know it or not, you just do it, you know, with tremendous aplomb. But that's your aura. And your aura is, you know, I tell you, it has come back to me. Every single person I talk to, this, oh, if you talk to Keith, ask him about this story with kids. Ask him about this. Ask him about that. So I have some questions then.
Yeah.
This week, while you've been here, hometown game, you're from Ridgewood, right? Tell me some good kids stories, some interactions you've had with families. Do you have any special stories, or maybe something from the last couple weeks? Maybe you're out at Belle Reve. I don't know, but give me one or two special stories. You know, you were appointed CEO January 1st this year. You took off to Dr. Barrow, right, and all his work for whatever it was, 18 years.
So
talk to me about, give me one or two really cool stories that you love telling your friends and family.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if, like, a singular one's coming to my mind, but when you talk to these kids, you'll get everything, or their parents, you'll get everything from, I had a parent say to me yesterday that she loves the program, and she's like, you know, I don't know if you know this, by the way, I just met her, so there's no reason I would know it. She goes, but my son stutters, but when he's involved with the program and when he's playing golf, he doesn't stutter at all. And she's like, the impact that he's had, he's been involved with the program. Like, that's like profound to hear her talk about, but it's profound because you can feel the emotion within her as she's talking about it. So there's lots of stories like that. I got to play in a pro-am with three fantastic, fantastic young women, Neve, Varson, Shireen, and Serena. One of them's going to Rice, actually, next year. They're fantastic golfers. They're all single digits. They're academically, like, off the charts. But they talk about the things they do in terms of in their free time, which they don't have much, but from academic, you know, really spending time, the stuff they do with family. They do other philanthropic work outside the First Tee. They helped me just conversationally with the golf game. So you get to really meet a lot of special young people, and talking to them, you also get to hear feedback of other things they'd like to see in the first tee. Many of them want to find out more about alumni programs. They're like, I don't want to leave the first tee once I graduate high school, so create a role for me. So that, I've heard that a lot out of them. I'm like, okay, we need to do something for the alumni. The kids who have come through the first tee, they're 18 years old, you know, they're 20 or they're 25. We need to create a framework for them to have an ongoing conversation, because they want to give back to the organization that's done so much for them.
So we have a tremendous Central Jersey and Philly to New York audience. How can we grow your reach today? Where's the website, social media, who to follow? Talk to me here.
Just go to thefirsttee.org.
Firsttee.org.
Go to thefirsttee.org and all the information that you need to, for from a national level and a local level, you'll be able to find it out.
Well, I tell you, I thought I was proud that the PGA was one of the founding partners of the first tee, but I tell you, I'm really proud that I got to spend some time with you here today. I know the mission is transforming the experience. Well, you have transformed my experience here at the Northern Trust today. You are one heck of a gentleman, Keith Dawkins, CEO of the First Tee. It's been tremendous getting to know you here a little bit, and I look forward to creating an even better relationship in the future.
Thanks for having me on, and love to come back, and I appreciate the time.
All right, well, we'll talk to you soon, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. All right, folks, that was Keith Dawkins from the First Tee. What a tremendous guy. I almost have chills here, goosebumps talking to him. The depth of his voice and the power of what he's doing to lead those kids, it's unbelievable. Well, right about now, you know that it's, 3:30 here in Paramus. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with the head pro of Ridgewood Country Club, David Reasoner.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on three core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Gotta stay tuned.
Our sound is a sound that makes you stop.
Stop.
And listen.
What's going on?
It's a collective voice that calls out to you, the fan.
Love the mentality of Fox Sports Radio.
This
yes.
is
I'm addicted to you.
Our sound.
Check it. Whoa, Colin.
You got it.
Let me hear this.
Oh, yeah.
And you can only get it here.
Here's the drama.
There's no question about it.
And we are rolling through.
On Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
It took all the shit I had not to fall apart. Just trying hard to live.
There she is again, Miss Gloria Gaynor, Newark, New Jersey's finest song of the week here on Springdale Golf Live. And all those guys out there, I will survive. Well, you know, those top 125, they need to get in the top 100. Those 25 guys, they need to make that move. So we're going to play a little Gloria Gaynor later with this guy, because this guy is the man in charge up here at Ridgewood Country Club. I'm so happy and proud to have a very good local New Jersey PGA section friend of mine, Mr. David Reasoner, head golf professional at Ridgewood Country Club, here on the show. David, welcome to Springdale Golf Live.
Keith, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, busy week, maybe? No?
Yeah, just a little bit.
All right.
We got a couple things going on.
Well, I'll tell you something's for sure. This guy has been busy his whole career. PGA member at 19 years old, head professional here at the infamous, famous, legendary Ridgewood Country Club at 23. He's been doing the job for 15 years with tremendous expertise. He's had over 12 assistants, become head professionals, and the list goes on and on with this guy. We'll talk more about a section award later and everything. I mean, this guy is fantastic. If you have a son or daughter that needs a mentor, you got to send them to David. David's just great in golf, and that's why I wanted to have him on the show today, because I wanted to talk about how we're growing the game of golf this week here at Ridgewood Country Club. What is Ridgewood doing that's special? I mean, you guys have hosted FedEx Cup playoffs before, USGA championships, even a Ryder Cup, I'm told.
1935.
Right? But what are you doing this year to make this championship so special?
The championship itself is unbelievable. We have the top 125 players in the world out here playing an incredible golf course. The atmosphere itself is very family friendly. We have a top golf set up on the golf course so people can hit shots and go out there and play the game. We've given lessons all week. There's clinics going on, putting, chipping, you name it. It's been a great week and really family-friendly, and it's made it really special.
So this is the fourth one of these you've run, right?
This is the fourth FedEx Cup. Yes,
okay.
Yes. Now it's the Northern Trust.
So the Northern Trust. So how does it compare to the other three in your mind?
I would say, you know, golf has evolved over the last, we've been doing this for 10 years now, so obviously golf has evolved, it's changed. There's a lot of players in the game now. I mean, there are a lot of up-and-coming youngsters that have really made a difference. And, you know, looking at the top 125 in that leaderboard, anybody can win this thing. It's unbelievable. They're all so good.
You know, we're here in the media center right now looking at the leaderboard, and the first three names are Jamie Lovemark, Sean O'Hare, and Kevin Tway. You know, so, I mean, there's three guys there that haven't won all year, right?
Yep.
And, you know, they have a very good chance to be in the top 125 and win this week. You know, so talking about the players. And, folks, we're here with David Reasoner, head golf professional at Ridgewood Country Club. The players are giving rave reviews to the golf course. And I love this golf course. You know, I love coming up, migrating up here like once a year, bring some members up. But does this leaderboard surprise you that some of the bigger names aren't up there? I mean, DJ's had two triples in 2 days.
It's amazing. He tripled the first hole. There's only one other time we've seen that, and that was Tiger Woods in 2010.
Yeah, he hit it in your backyard.
I think they're both in there. I'm going to look for that ball later.
You should. You should.
Yeah, it's surprising. But the guys on the board, like I said, they're all so good. Anything can happen at any time, and they can all explode. I mean, Lovemark is just playing unbelievably well.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see all these guys on there.
So you've been coming here for 15 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Golf ambassador, golf leader of the club. What do you love most about working at Ridgewood?
You know, the atmosphere is incredible. Obviously, everybody knows the golf course is great. You know, coming to this as a workplace and looking out that window every day and being involved in it's incredible. But the people here are just special. I mean, the whole social setting, the membership here is incredible. One thing I do love about coming to work, you just never know what you're going to get every day. And that's, as you know, as a golf professional, you know you're not going to a desk job and flipping papers.
Yeah.
Every day you're coming in something different, and it makes it exciting. And to be able to do it in a beautiful place like this is really great.
Yeah, it's certainly one of the coolest things about what we do on a daily basis. There's
Absolutely.
No doubt. And you know what? I have to say this much. You know, you say that the people here are great, right? And when we're assistant professionals and we interview somewhere, and then you either get the job or you don't. But when you don't get the job, the first thing they come back with, or they tell you because one of your assistants did, and they say what? They say, just wasn't the right fit.
Right.
Right. So if you're telling me there's great people here, then I know why you're here. You know,
and that's what it's about.
Yeah.
You love what you do. You love who's around you. You know, the staff, the members. It's just a really, everyone's in close grouping, and it's really good people all throughout.
And one of the things that, you know, that you and I love to take pride in, and that's volunteerism. Mm-hmm. And I know you give back to the New Jersey PGA section. You yourself are the current president of the section right now. You've been, let's see, that's probably got to be at least a dozen years of being on the board and being active with the New Jersey PGA. But one of the roles that you had to play while we were on the board together was that you were vice president of the New Jersey Golf Foundation.
Correct.
And we love the New Jersey Golf Foundation here at Springdale Golf Live. They're one of our biggest sponsors. And Chris Hunt and the team down there, and what Dan Pasternak's doing, great job, right? But how did the New Jersey Golf Foundation get involved with the Northern Trust? Because this is a big deal in golf. And, you know, I'd love to grow and spread the word about the New Jersey Golf Foundation.
Yeah. The New Jersey Golf Foundation has been huge. They were our number one Tickets for Charity foundation. So that's something in itself that's incredible. Through the foundation, we sold more tickets to the event than any other charity. Just Chris Hunt, and we have all kinds of activities throughout the entire week. Yesterday, we did a Special Olympics clinic and played three holes with PGA Tour players with nine Special Olympics Olympians. It was, myself and my staff gave the clinic. They went out to play three holes on the golf course with three PGA professionals that are playing in the tournament here. And it was just an incredible experience for all of them. And it was fun to watch. And Chris Hunt and the foundation set the whole thing up, and they flew them in from all over the country.
How cool is that?
It was really impressive. And I had no idea what to expect. And he didn't give me the heads up that these were the nine best Special Olympians that we had. And they
Sure.
were incredible. Absolutely incredible golfers, incredible people. And it was just really fun to be a part of.
Well, you know, the foundation has those three pillars that they work with, military, right. Golf and schools, and then the third one being special needs.
Right.
So, you know, Chris putting all that together, he's the executive director, Chris Hunt of the New Jersey Golf Foundation, such an incredible programmer, just fantastic guy. That sounds like a really cool event. I wish I could have made it up here yesterday.
Yes.
But we're here now live at the Northern Trust, and we're talking to David Reasoner. He is the head golf professional here, has been for 15 years at the Ridgewood Country Club. Ridgewood has hosted a bunch of different events here at in their time of, what, 1890, the club was founded?
1890.
Right?
You've
had some, senior PGA championship. You had a couple different things,
yep,
right?
Yep. We started in 1935 as the Ryder Cup.
1935 Ryder Cup.
Yep.
So
1934 AM.
You and I have known each other almost as long, probably longer than you've been head pro here.
That's about right.
You know, maybe one of
20 years or so.
Brendan's dinners or something like that. We met for the first time,
most
right?
Most likely.
So, based upon that friendship that you and I have developed over all these years, and you know I love you to death, right? I brought you a present today
Uh-oh.
To thank you for coming on. You know,
Uh-oh.
It turns out that I was aware that the 1935 Ryder Cup did take place here. And what I'm going to hand to you right now is a program
Wow.
from the 1935 Ryder Cup.
That is fantastic.
And that is an actual program.
It is the actual program.
Right? It's 83 years old right there. Okay, you can tell by the advertising and everything. But I wanted to, every time I come up here, I see some form of history. There's the Ben Nelson, Byron Nelson plaque on the
right.
patio outside the shop where he hit the flagpole shot, all that kind of stuff. And the last time I was up here playing in the Pro President last year, and you're a tremendous host, right? I was looking around, and there's all these great things on the wall and everything. And I said, you know what? I said, I have this at home. It was given to me by my grandfather many, many years
kidding.
Ago. I think he attended the event, right?
Oh.
So that is an actual program from the Ryder Cup, okay, in 1935. Now,
that is unbelievable.
I have known David for close to 20 years, right? And I am really enjoying the look on his face right now because he is very seldom a man
right.
without words. So for 3 seconds, I got you.
This is incredible.
All
Thank
right?
you very much.
No,
I don't even know how you have this. But this is fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, at least you're not surprised we're on live radio right now.
This is true.
Yeah. Fair enough. No, hey, by all means, you know, you've been a special friend of mine. You've been a special friend to golf. But let's get back to this.
All right.
The members of Ridgewood,
yes.
what are they doing this week to roll out the red carpet? Is there special volunteer work being done? Tell me a little bit about their role.
They jump right into this event, volunteer, all of our vice chairs. They basically help run the entire event, soup to nuts. With I think it's 14 different committees that are being run. But something that was really special that I thought was just kind of a community getting together to make this thing happen as a whole was we've had so much rain. We've had 7 inches of rain over the last, I think, 14 days. And we kind of did a mass call to the membership saying, we need your help. Filling divots, raking bunkers. We had a group of probably 30 to 40 members out here on Sunday and Monday getting this place ready. And it was awesome to see the support throughout the membership and everybody kind of pitching in to make this thing happen. It was truly a group effort.
Wow, that's a tremendous story. I
yeah.
love that.
We had members raking bunkers, and it was amazing. So.
I mean, we live in this world, the private country club world, and too many times it gets a bad rap for people not actually loving the game and appreciating the game. And I love to hear stories like that. And my listeners out on Springdale Golf Live, whether they're public golfers or private golfers, I love that, you know, we're going to inspire them to maybe, you know, pitch in at their club
yeah.
a little bit, you know. That's really, really cool. So, weekend's coming up. Leaderboard isn't quite what we expected, right? So let's prognosticate a little bit here. You know, maybe you and I can make a bet or something. What do you
well,
think?
Man,
Who do you like?
It's a mixed bag up there. Anybody can, they're all playing really well. I mean, look at Jamie Lovemark's numbers. I mean, unbelievable. Dustin is right there, and he's made two triples.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
It's really unbelievable.
What did he shoot, 4-under yesterday? He shot 4-under yesterday,
yeah.
and he was and he had a triple on his card.
He shot 4-under with a triple, and then he tripled the first hole today,
Yeah,
and he got back to 4 within 6 holes later. So he's really, yeah, it's a yo-yo ride for him.
So,
but, you know, Woods, obviously, if he can get through today, he's got the best scoring average on a Saturday on the tour. You know, he can climb that leaderboard right away. But it was fun to see Mickelson make a run this morning.
Well, yeah, and I was out here this morning. I saw him play a couple holes. He started out birdie in the first 4 holes he played, and you could hear him going around the golf course. And, you know, one of the things I love about playing Ridgewood, and I think it is better than any golf course I've ever played, is the tree work, right? The
yes.
canopy work on the trees is just unbelievable. It's exquisite. And if you're into golf courses, you got to come see it sometime. I mean, if you got to come up and see the Northern Trust anyway.
Yep.
Kids under 18 are free. Get out here. Get the family out here. If you're local, come see David and the team putting on the show. But you walk these fairways, and they're just framed from grass to sky by these trees, and it's just immaculate. It's so cool, and your superintendent has done a tremendous job. RCC underscore grounds, I think it is.
Yes, Todd Rash.
Todd Rash
has just done
on Instagram. Unbelievable. He made a post. I was up first thing this morning because I had to get up here from Southern Jersey, right? He made a post overnight. He says, my favorite time right now. He goes, and the post came out at like 3 in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't doubt for a second that he was there because this guy, he's been doing drone footage of holes. I mean, what a tremendous multimedia experience he's putting out, not only for to make the members proud, but to get the fans involved.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But, yeah, you know.
He does a wonderful job day in and day out. You know, I always say that he could play this golf course. It's in this condition all year long, and that's the type of job that he does. And the support that he has from his Superintendents Association to come out and help him this week have become all of our buddies, and they're just great people, and they have an incredible staff.
Well, you know, good things happen to good people.
And this is true.
You know, every time I've been here, whether it's just on a Tuesday with some members to visit or the pro president or now this, you are 100% correct. And we're talking to David Reasoner. He's the head golf professional here at Ridgewood Country Club. He's also the current president of the New Jersey PGA section of the PGA of America. You know, David, what's it like having Tiger Woods here this week?
It's just, you know, his impact is unbelievable. You can hear him. You can see it. Following him around the golf course is unbelievable. The crowds that kind of come over the hill when he's, you know, playing next hole. It just brings a whole nother level of energy to the place. And it's fun to see. You know, the Tiger factor, it's happening. It's real.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see the spike in ticket sales and everything else. And, you know, I say, like, if LeBron James doesn't play in the basketball game, people don't go to the game. I mean, they're going to the game no matter what. If Tiger Woods, he makes a huge impact. Yeah. Television, hot dog sales, you name it, all across the board. He's a great thing for golf, and hopefully he's inspiring more people to play the game.
Well, I'm going
to
say it again because I love this one. I saw this guy, Will Dixon, on social media, and everyone was talking about Tiger moves the needle, and he put up their hashtag, I am the needle. Right?
There you go.
So I'm going to use that one again.
I like that.
And certainly when it comes to Ridgewood Country Club, the needle is David Reasoner, and he moves it. He and his staff, they move it each and every day. Bud, tremendous, tremendous to have you here with me today to share this moment. You know, a little New Jersey PGA, growth of the game initiative we're doing here with Fox Sports, Springdale Golf Live. It's a pleasure to have you on.
It's an honor to be here.
And I certainly will talk to you after 4 o'clock when we get done, and we can celebrate this fun that we had.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait till you read that program a little bit.
It's incredible. Thank you very much. It's been an honor to be here.
Hey.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. All right, folks. That was David Reasoner, head golf professional at Ridgewood Country Club. We're heading into break. Folks, it's 3:45 here in Paramus. We'll be back with Marty Hackle, the golf fashion expert from Golf Digest Magazine. See you soon.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf, with a focus on 3 core pillars: youth, military, and special needs. The NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
This is what it feels like.
So how do you like it?
So what is it? I'm curious.
You like it like this?
My God, do we love football.
Or like this?
I love the sport of baseball.
And what about this?
You can have a sports show without all the vicious talk.
Simple human decency.
Whatever it is that you like.
Yeah, I like chaos.
We've got it covered.
Right?
Right?
It's sports the way you like it.
My friends, you may not know this. It's got everything you want.
On Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Let's get back on course as Springdale Golf Live continues on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey. Once again, Keith Stewart.
I've been on my broken heart, and I've been up so many nights just feeling sorry for myself.
All right, folks. I Will Survive, the song of the week, Gloria Gaynor, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. And That's how she became part of all of what we're trying to do here. We are live at the Northern Trust having some fun. And we're here at Ridgewood Country Club up in Paramus, New Jersey. There is a super buzz going on around this place. And we're sitting here live in the Media Center having our weekly edition of Springdale Golf Live. We've had some tremendous guests on. We've had the CEO of the First Tee, Mr. Keith Dawkins. Then we had the head golf professional, David Reisner, from Ridgewood Country Club. But as a fan of golf, and anyone that knows me, I love golf fashion. I just eat it up. I love it. I know that there's a line of golf professionals outside my door the day I die. They want me to will my closet to them. But there's one gentleman across from me who's been a hero of mine forever, and that is Golf Digest fashion expert, Mr. Marty Hackle. Mr. Hackle, it's a pleasure to have you on Springdale Golf Live.
Nice to be here.
You know, the when this was all put together, I was just tremendously taken back, because one of the things that's really cool about what's going on in the golf world right now is that as we look out there and the top 125 players are out there, so the statistically the best players playing in 2018 are out on the golf course, there's just such a myriad of colors and things, and it just matches the golf course, and what a tremendous venue we have here in Ridgewood, right? What kind of vibe are you getting from Ridgewood this week in the time that you've been here?
Oh, a lot of enthusiasm. I just see the crowd. They're reacting to the players. Excuse me. I think that this is probably one of the more intelligent crowds. They seem to behave kind of like a European golf crowd, where they appreciate a good shot and they recognize when a player has a bogey. So I think it's a knowledgeable crowd.
You know, I would have to agree with you. This morning I was out watching a little play, and Jordan Spieth's group came through the 18th hole, and he had started on the back nine, and he had a putt for par of about 12 feet, and he missed it, and he was about a foot short. Then he went up to hit the next putt, and he stubbed it. He literally, Marty, he stubbed it. It went all of an inch, but you saw the ball move. It shocked him. It shocked the guys he was playing with, Ben on and Bo Hostler, and they were all like, what just happened there? Like, the ball, he definitely hit it, and he knew he hit it, and then he went and knocked it in. But to the crowd's credit, everyone just kind of like let it go. You know, they were like, whoa, what just happened there? And, you know, but there wasn't the big, like, when a shot comes in, they all go, ooh, and then it rolls down, like, maybe because it spins too much into a collection area or something. So I have to agree with you. The crowd here has been tremendous this week. But so as you've been walking the fairways and on the practice range, and you're looking at these guys, and on tour this year, talk to our listeners a little bit about what you're seeing, that fashion is kind of evolving in 2018 that maybe you didn't see in 16 and 17.
You know, what I think is evolving is a better understanding of fit. I see, you look at this leaderboard, you look at Dustin Johnson, you look at every single player, really, in the top 10, and they all dress with the appropriate size. And I think that's important, because two or three years ago, all we saw was oversized.
Yeah.
And people would wear one size extra, feeling, this will make me look a little bit better. This will hide a little bit of anything. Diets.
Yeah, the tiger effect.
Oh,
in many
what
ways,
you need,
right?
not an extra size in your shirt.
Well, you know, it's funny, because with Tiger coming back, he's been kind of off the radar since 13. So we're going back even further. So when he was last on the scene, bulkier clothes were in play, pleats and pants were in play.
Hey, wait a second. What's going on with that shirt that he's wearing? He wears this. It's kind of like a no-see-em collar.
Oh, I know.
I don't know how Nike has been able to get away with that all of these years. It's one of the best-selling shirts. And if you ask me what the best-selling item is in golf shops today,
sure,
I'm going to tell you, it's T-shirts.
I believe you.
T-shirts.
I believe
you. So, you know, not to play in them, but to live in them. And, you know, I think that's great. I have a, you know, Tiger can get away with anything, but
sure,
it's a little bit too much for me.
But going back to your point on fit, right? 5 years ago when he was on tour all year long, those shirts were like that. And now you see him and everyone has kind of evolved. I could remember I was watching the PGA Championship with my wife, And she pays attention to the majors and some of the things. And, Sunday nights I might turn on the final couple holes just to see what happened and keep up to date with the golf where I can. And she goes, you know what? She was looking at a group, and it was like Justin Rose and some of the guys that are tall, lankier guys. She goes, that guy's clothes really fit. And I said, yeah. I said, I think they've all kind of like met Stacey London or something. You know, like they certainly had this out, like, you know, come to Jesus moment where they're like, you know what? I think, you know, I work out a lot. I think I can wear some clothes that fit. You know, so I think after like 10 years of you saying that to people,
finally,
I think, you know, it's your lips to God's ears, right? For my listeners here that may not know enough about you, and they should, right? Give us a little background on how you got started in fashion. I mean, I know you've been doing it for a long time, but, you know, just give us a little background on
well,
you.
Well, I started out in retail. I worked at Dayton's in Minneapolis. Then I went to Neiman Marcus. Spent a long time there. And then I came to New York, and I ran a company called Alexander Julian, Colors by Alexander Julian. So I've had experience on both sides of the equation, both the wholesale and the retail. And then 20-odd years ago, golf was the coolest, hottest thing going. Condé Nast purchased Golf Digest from the New York Times, and they had a fashion orientation, and suddenly they decided, hey, you know, we need to pay a little more attention to this. And when I first started 17 years ago, people looked at me and said, fashion? Golf? What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
And look at it today. Sell a lot more golf shirts in the golf shops than they sell golf clubs.
There's no doubt. Yeah. You need one shirt every day. You only need one driver for 7 days.
So I've had a lot of fun doing what I'm doing. And what a cool sport. And what great players to work with. And they all have distinct, unique personalities.
They definitely do. And, you know, our good friend Julie Tyson, who is the executive director and senior vice president of PGA Tour and who's running the Northern Trust, she was on Springdale Golf Live about a month ago talking about things. And I generally try to always get a fashion question in there. And she came up with this great quote. And she said to me, and I love this, and I've been using it ever since. She said, you know, what I love most about golf fashion is that golf has no uniform. What does that quote mean to you?
Well, I think it means it's not what you wear, Keith. It's how you wear it.
Mm.
So you can take something very simple. You can take a pair of khakis and a white shirt, and you can make it look terrific. So you don't have to break the bank. Just have some confidence. Don't take a lot of risks. Have fun with one thing, not with everything. And you'll be on good ground.
Words to live by in the closet there.
There you go.
I love it. Okay. So, we're here with Marty Hackle, a true hero of mine and mentor. He is the fashion expert and writer for Golf Digest, retail extraordinaire, the king of sartorial splendor.
Whoa.
For sure. Yep. I love my adjectives.
Yeah.
You know, my Jesuit education at Holy Cross, they'd be very proud of.
I grew up next to BC, so watch it.
Well, that was Bishop Fenwick's second school, but that's neither here nor there. Okay, so now a little bit of a moment about me, right? How'd I do today, right?
Oh, you'd never be funnier than your socks. These are great. Those are Stance, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Stance
folks,
socks.
Folks, you can't see this, but Keith has a great-looking pair of socks on, and you know what? The socks work with his Converse All-Stars. They work with his slacks. They work with the shirt. They work with the necktie. They even work with the watch strap. This is extraordinary. You've done some very good homework here.
Well, when I got the call yesterday that you had the time to come join me, right, I think I was probably the most nervous I've been since I've been on the radio. I said, you know, I got to put something together for my main man, Marty, here. So real quick, we got to go in a couple minutes, but where do you find your inspiration? I'd love to know the answer to this question.
Go to the Andover Shop in Cambridge, Massachusetts, or go to Sid Mashburn in Atlanta, or Sid Mashburn in L.A., or Sid Mashburn in Houston. Go to his website, look at everything he's doing, and that's exactly what's in good taste.
Well, Marty Hackle, That's some great advice, and I appreciate the A grade I got on my outfit today. It truly has been, you know, a fan experience for me here at the Northern Trust to have you on. Thank you so much for being on Springdale Golf Live.
Me too.
You know, I look forward to spending more time with you in the future.
Okay.
All right. Well, folks, that was Marty Hackle. He's the golf fashion expert from Golf Digest. We're at that moment in the show where it's about time for me to start heading out. I've got to give my thank yous to everyone involved. Certainly, I want to give my thank yous first and foremost to the PGA Tour Communications Department for having us up here, and that's Tracy Veal and her team, Allison Johnson at the Gilly Group for lining all this up. I've got Tony Henry on the board right here. I've got Al back in the booth live at the studio hooking us up and taking care of all of our sound. And lastly, I've got to thank my members at Springdale and the Springdale Board of Governors for all their support. Folks, I'm heading back to Springdale. Where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide. And from Paramus to Paris, and of course, everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.